Good adventures, everybody. I'm Melissa Bonzek, and welcome to episode 117 of Books Cubed, the show where I chat with indie authors you should be reading. Today, I've got Cheryl Bass on. She's a children's book author, and she has this really nifty book called Baby Dragon's Big Sneeze. Let's get right to it, and I'll see you after. Today, I've got Cheryl Bass, who is a multiple award-winning children's book author. Welcome, Cheryl.
Thank you for having me.
I am really excited to chat with you. I don't have grandchildren, not that I'm old, but you know, anyway, I don't have grandchildren, but I do have lots of great nieces and great nephews. And so I'm always buying kids books for them. And I thought that Baby Dragon's Big Sneeze was hysterical. It was just a great story. So tell everybody a little bit about that book. That one's the one that won multiple awards, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it won 7 national and international book awards, including 2 first place wins. And basically, it's about a dragon, a baby dragon who's flying around, one day catches a cold somehow and sneezes and accidentally burns down a village. And all the villagers are wanting to attack him until a little girl decides she wants to get his side of the story and goes into his cave and asks him why he would do this. And she learns that it was a mistake. He didn't do it on purpose. And she finds that he is sick and he doesn't have parents around to help him. So she decides to talk to the king and get the townspeople to help him get well. And in turn, he helps them rebuild. And they live happily ever after.
And it's adorable. And the artist is now, when you wrote the book, who published the book?
I did.
You self-published. Okay. And did you find, and I'm into publish too. I think it's the best way to go. You make all the money.
Yes.
Anyway, and I used to be a literary agent, and I can tell you that the writer never makes any money unless you're Stephen King. But anyway, so the drawings are really adorable. You had someone do the art?
Yes. Yes, Ramesh Ram of Prion Animation.
And how did you two get together?
So I had tried traditionally publishing this story for a while. Pretty much every publishing house that deals with children's picture books throughout the world has heard from me. So no one was interested. But I think partly because I'm not famous. And there, you know, it used to be that famous people would create a perfume. Now they all write a children's book. So if a publishing house has, say, 10 spaces in a year to take children's picture books, they're going to get them from Jimmy Fallon or some of these other famous people before they would risk going with someone like me who's not famous. So I decided I was going to self-publish, but I didn't know how I was going to go about it. I thought I'd be alone in a room with a book like Self-Publishing for Dummies, and I'd have to try and figure it out. But I'm a member of the Society for Children's Book Writers and Illustrators. And as a member of that group, you have access to various videos, archived videos on their website. And they had this one video from a woman named April Cox, who has a company called Self-Publishing Made Simple. And she has all these vendors that she works with. And she actually will get on a Zoom call with you and she'll walk you through how to get the ISBN numbers, how to file with the Library of Congress to copyright it, all of those things. And she has about 12 illustrators that she works with that all do work for hire, which means if it's considered work for hire, once you publish the book, you pay them up front. And once you've published the book, they don't take any of the royalties. The only time you pay them is just before the book is published, and then you get to keep the royalties thereafter. You own the rights to the images. So there were about, I looked at the websites of all 12 of these illustrators, narrowed it down to about 4 from their websites. Then I asked all 4 of them to draw the same image from the same scene in my book, just in black and white, and I paid them a nominal fee to do that. And then I was able to narrow it down to 2 illustrators from there. And then I used my friends and family as a focus group, especially those who had kids. And I said, you know, which dragon looks cuter? Which little girl looks cuter and why? And I went with the one that got the most votes, and that was Prion Animation and Ramesh Ram.
You know, that's a really good way to do it, by testing, having your audience get back to you. And people who write novels, that's one of the important things to do, is get those beta readers where you send the book out to them and you have them read it and tell you if it makes sense, if they were excited by the story, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. Now, How long did it take him to do all the drawings?
Not very long. From the time I decided I'm seriously going to do this, and I got an editor to really edit it and so on, and then I had it in my hands, was maybe 6 or 7 months. And that's another reason that self-publishing is so much better than traditional publishing, I think, because the process is much longer. It could be up to 5 years from the time a publisher says, oh, we like your book, till it comes out. And I felt like I was working on a little bit of a deadline, self-imposed a little bit. I was turning 50 and I wanted to have a book published by the time I turned 50. But also my father was very ill and I was hoping to publish it before he passed away. And unfortunately, he passed away September 4th of 2022 and my book published October 19th. So he got to see the illustrations in black and white, but he didn't get to see them in color. But I'm grateful for that he was able to at least be a part of the process. And it was nice for my family. It was something positive that they could all get behind and talk about. And so that was very healing for us as a family.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad that he got to see the drawings. Yeah. Yes. At least in black and white.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, how many children's books do you have?
Just two.
Just two so far. Okay. So you've got Baby Dragons, Big Sneeze, and what's the name of the sequel?
Baby Dragon Finds His Family.
Finds His Family. Oh, yes. In the first book, he talks about hatching in the cave alone.
Yes.
And he doesn't have any parents.
Right. And interestingly, and this is one of the reasons that an editor is so crucial, even with something that's only 400, 500 words. When I first wrote the first story, I didn't have anything in there about parents. And the editor found that hole in my story. She said, well, why are the townspeople helping him? Where are his parents? He's a baby dragon. Why aren't his parents helping him? So I thought, okay, well, he's like a reptile and reptiles lay eggs and then they leave, you know? So that's probably what I'm going to say has happened, you know? And so I had the illustrator draw an egg, you know, an empty eggshell, you know, in the cave with him, and that he just hatched all alone and he doesn't have anyone to help him. And I expanded on that theme, but that theme that wouldn't have even been a part of anything if it weren't for my editor raising that as a hole in my story, in the first story. And so I expand on that in the second story, that he goes on a quest to try and find others like him. They're calling him Dragon, and he doesn't have a name. Everyone else has a name, and dragons are named by their parents. So he doesn't have a name. He feels very odd. He feels very... he doesn't feel like he belongs. He's living among humans and it's starting to get to him that there's no one else like him. So he goes on this quest to find other dragons. And on that quest, he meets an elf, a unicorn, and a fairy. And he helps them with the various problems that they're having. And he does find his family, but in a way that's different than what people would think. So he does not run into other dragons in the story. And it's a particularly, I think, useful story for either kids who are adopted or kids who have non-traditional family construction. And to learn, you know, that family is not necessarily people who are blood related to you. So that's the message in the second story.
And that's huge. That's huge. Because there's a lot of people out there. I'm adopted myself. And there's a lot of people out there that you have that found family. Mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most definitely. Now, for children's books, you have to be kind of careful because depending on how you say things, I mean, you can say one thing. I was talking to somebody about this today, about how you can ask a question and get an answer, but it's not really the answer you wanted because you didn't ask the question correctly. Mm. So how do you have to think about the language of your books when you're dealing with children's books?
Well, I feel like because my books rhyme, both of them rhyme, I feel like that also really helps children in terms of context clues. So suppose I'm using a sentence saying so-and-so is kind and generous, and a child is reading that and they don't know what generous means, but they know what kind means. And they see a picture, an image of someone handing someone something. They can then use the context clues. Okay, generous is something like kind, they're giving, they're, you know, and the parent also, these books are designed to have social emotional learning messages in them. In fact, that's why I named my publishing company Be Kind Publishing, because all of these stories have messages of either apologizing when you've done something wrong, accountability, teamwork, friendship, embracing those who are different, those kinds of messages that actually employers look for in adults. You know, they want you to be a team player, and those sorts of intangibles, those are the things that are so important to learn when you're young. And so I really want to have those messages in all of my stories.
How do you come up with your ideas? Now, when I read Baby Dragon's Big Sneeze, I never would have thought of the things that happened. When I'm thinking of dragons and, you know, burning down the towns, and I don't want to give away the spoiler. You know, it's a really good book. It's very adorable, and the story is really good. And I would not have thought of the things that happened that they did to help him. I thought that was really interesting. How'd you come up with those things?
Well, my father was a doctor. And so, I thought about certain things that you do for someone when they're sick, and how would they be able to help him? You know, he's very rare. They don't really know how to help him. And I did some other things. I had a lot of creative control with the illustrator, and I was telling him everything, every step of the way, that, you know, what I want to happen on each page. And so I have some funny things happening in there that have to do with his size and the scale of the people to him, and what that would present like, because I thought that would be really funny. The idea for Baby Dragon's Big Sneeze came actually 13 or so years ago. I was walking down the street and I sneezed really hard. And then I had this ridiculous thought, it's a good thing I'm not a dragon, because if I were, this would have done a lot of damage. And then I thought, oh, well, that's a children's book. And so I went and I wrote it, and then I put it away for like 10 years. And then I started thinking, okay. And then I tried the traditional publishing, nothing happened. And then I decided to do the self-publishing route. And then the second book came out of that whole piece about him hatching alone. So it came directly out of that first book.
You have that one little spark, that one thought, and then it just snowballs into something. Now you've written other things besides baby dragons. I keep wanting to say dragon baby dragons big sneeze, about rescue animals.
So I had a rescue dog. I sing, and so I had a rescue dog, and I named her Lyric. The town I lived in was having auditions for dogs to star in the. I lived in Boulder, Colorado, and the Boulder Dinner Theater was having auditions for dogs for the role of Toto. And interestingly, I had auditioned myself many times at this dinner theater as a singer. They weren't interested in me, but they wanted my dog. So I had a little professional jealousy that I had to overcome and work with, but that was a personal growth experience. They hired her, and she got $40 a show. Well, I got $40 a show. She got paid in prime rib. So because it was dinner theater, so they had prime rib, and she got prime rib every evening. And it was great. It was really a wonderful experience. So the story I wrote that went in two short story anthologies that are still on Amazon. One of the anthologies is called Lost Souls Found, Inspiring Stories About Chihuahuas. And the other one is called Second Chance Dogs, True Stories of the Dogs We Rescue and the Dogs Who Rescue Us. And both of those were what it's like to be a stage mom to a dog. And, you know, at the end of the shows, I used to carry an ink pad. And at the end of the show, her face was in the playbill with all the humans. And so I would put her paw onto the ink pad, and she would sign autographs for people at the end of the show.
Oh, that's awesome. So. Did you keep one for yourself at least?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Has she hung up her show business, or is she still doing anything?
No, she passed away in 2016 at 16 years old, but she had a nice long life. So.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's just a great story. So what else do you, are you sticking just with children's books? Are you going to write anything else?
Yeah. Well, the personal essay genre is definitely one that works for me. So I could see myself putting together a book of short stories. I would love to do a novel, but I have so much journalistic training that it's really hard to undo. And in journalism, at least we always learned, like, if you can't say it in 600 words or less, it's not worth saying. So the picture book format seems to work for me, because I'm just saying my piece and I'm out, you know. But and with these short stories, the Working Like a Dog was the name of the story of being the stage mom, and that was only about 1300 words. So, but the idea of really developing a character and talking about the scenery and going on waxing poetic about all that stuff, that scares me. I don't know if I would love to write a novel, but that's maybe someday down the road.
Yeah, maybe someday. I tell you, you should come on once a month. We used to, and we're going to get back to it again because we were off for about a year, Books Cube, because we had other things we were doing. We have where we do rolling prompts. So we have, we wrote a whole series. We have 9 books with another 9 coming out where you roll dice and create prompts and then you write. And we have people come on the show and we roll the dice. We pick a genre by rolling the dice. Then we come open to a random page and then one of the guests rolls the dice and we create our prompt and then we all write from the same prompt. And it is crazy the differences in stories, sometimes even genres. We had one show where we had all cozy mystery authors. I think there were 4 authors. They all wrote a horror story. It wasn't Halloween. I thought that was just crazy, but you should come on one time and do that because we write for 20 to 30 minutes and we write a complete short story.
And then you read them to each other? Or
yes. And then we write and we cut out that part of the writing part so that people don't have to stare at us writing.
Right.
And then everybody reads their short story and they are a lot of fun. We have repeat guests who want to come back on again and again. But you should come on and try that.
I'd love to.
Dip your toe into short stories.
Okay.
And I know for me, I always write one that's between 100 and 250 words. I am very minimal when it comes to short stories, but we've had people write 10 pages, just scribbling away and it all makes sense. It's crazy. We had a nonfiction author come on and she said, I can't write fiction. And she wrote a really nifty story. And we all said, honey, you're a fiction author now.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That would be great.
And I think the whole idea of writing without thinking, and like you had said, coming up with all those things and developing the characters and all that, when you think about that, it's overwhelming. But if you take it one piece at a time, it really isn't. And if you start writing without thinking, and that's like the biggest thing, is writing without thinking. You have to know what you're going to write often, having a vague idea, but writing without thinking really can open up things for you. So you should come on one time with us.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to.
I know I'm going to try getting people together in the new year to start doing this again. Cause I miss it. I miss it. It's a lot of fun and it really gets me thinking and I'm terrible at short stories. Absolutely terrible. But it's fun practice though. Okay. This is one of my favorite questions to ask people. As an author, what is the best thing you bought for yourself that you spent money on for your writing craft?
Well, I bought a package to work with April Cox, and she's basically been my Yoda. She's the woman that had all the vendors to work with and walked me through the process. And I used her again for my second book too, because I figured I probably won't remember how to do all of those things. So she stayed with me on Zoom and did all those things with me. Like the Library of Congress and the ISBN numbers and all those things.
Professional organizations are pretty important. It's where you can find people who write like you, who think like you, and who can be your backup and be there for you. I know I found a friend who I write on Zoom with every day, and it helps both of us. Now, in Baby, I cannot remember her name. What is the name of the little girl in Baby Dragon's Sneeze?
Mirabelle.
Mirabelle, that's it. I love that name. How did you come up with that?
I wanted a name that sounded either Celtic or Viking or Western European, you know, because it's some vague Western European area and the people are in Viking garb and medieval kind of looking buildings and so on. So, and I wanted her to have red hair because I was thinking, you know, Irish or Celtic or something of that nature. And then it got a little more Viking in the second book. It's not really well defined, but I was looking through baby names actually, and I saw Mirabelle, and that's where I came up with that it was of Irish descent or similar.
Yeah, I thought it matched really well. Like you said, they do look like they're Eastern European somewhere. And when you think dragons, that's the area that you think, but you don't think Philadelphia,
right?
You know? not at all. Mm-hmm. So now I know that in your background you have a master's.
I have a master's in social work, and I've taken quite a bit of child development coursework as part of that master's degree. And then I also have a master's degree in journalism. So I combine both of them in my writing.
Now, tell everybody where they can find your books.
So Amazon.com and all the other Amazon extensions throughout the world, on BarnesandNoble.com, Target.com, and Walmart.com. Also through Ingram Spark directly, if people are able to do that. Like librarians and so on can get it through Ingram Spark probably.
Okay, well, I'll have links in the show notes for everybody to take a peek. And the first book is Baby Dragon's Big Sneeze. And the second one is...
Baby Dragon Finds His Family. And also, my website is www.bekindpublishing.com, bekindpublishing.com with a hyphen in between. And if people go there and they give me their email address, then they can download up to 10 free coloring pages for the children in their life.
I have a coloring book myself.
Oh, okay, good. It's more and more adults are doing it.
Yeah, it's very relaxing. It really is. But everybody now, you all probably have time to order this book before Christmas.
Yes.
If anybody's listening to this in the far future, I'm sure the book is still there. So you can go to Amazon and grab it for the child in your life or for yourself. Mm-hmm. It was a cute story. And like I said, there were unexpected things. And because the dragon is so big, the things they had to do for him, and the way the pictures are done, it's really funny to see. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give it away. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil it. But yeah, it's definitely a good one to go check out. And thank you so much for coming on today. And like I said, it is an adorable book. People need to grab it.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Cheryl. You'll find all the things that we talked about down in the show notes. Grab a copy of Baby Dragon's Big Sneeze for the little one in your life. And I will see you next time. Go read a good book.